He would have failed had God sent him before. How do you know he would fail, Brother Floyd? Because he failed right after Mount Carmel. And if he failed right after that, you'd better be sure. He would have never made Mount Carmel when he saw those 450 prophets of Baal and the king and that army. And it's just him. Well, actually, there were 7,000 more, but they were the silent minority. Okay? Hallelujah. Now listen, listen. Let me tell you what God's doing here. This is a test. It's a test for Elijah. It's a test for Elijah to prepare him. You see, Elijah has learned things about God in tonight's lesson, as you and I have. We've learned that God can bring our food right in via ravens. That God can bring us food, water through Brook Cherith and fly bread in. And then, this is the first time, other than the manna, see, that you could really say food. Food was left then, but we've never really seen food multiplied like this before. It happened afterwards, but not before. Not like this. And you know, Elijah's got a brain about like us. We start thinking, well, yep, God can multiply food. I got that. You know, I've learned that lesson. I have faith in God to multiply food. God, I have a new doctrine going. And that's what I preach every Sunday. See, I have an experience in it. God can provide food. That's a wonderful thing to know about God. But when your baby's dying, that's not going to make it, y'all. If that's all you know about God, when your wife comes home and says, I have cancer, if all you know is God multiplies food, you're not going to hang in there too good. When your husband says, I'm leaving with another woman, you just haven't got what you need. If all you know is Jehovah is a food multiplier, I have a question for you tonight. You see, what God is going to teach Elijah now and teach this widow, and we watch it, you see, yes, Jehovah can multiply food, but can he raise the dead? Can he raise the dead? Elijah's got to know so that he can face Mount Carmel and not fail. And Elijah has no scripture to stand on. Going down to Brook Cherith, he's got manna and the quail. He's got water coming out of rocks that he can trust God in. You know, he's got scripture. He has experience from scripture to hang in there. And he has the word of God to him. You hear what I'm saying? God is making it easy for him. But now comes the ultimate test. No scripture. Listen, I've read these things. There's nothing before this that would indicate at all that a man is going to call on God and someone come back to life. He has no scripture. He's got to go to God between just him and God. Watch it. As God... See, do you see what's happening? God is for 3.5 years privately, in private at Brook Cherith, in private in this little household here. See, he can't be preaching inside him. He isn't on the streets preaching. Listen, this guy, he's burning inside, y'all. This is a man of God called by God to bring messages from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And for 3.5 years, he hadn't preached one message other than in this home to this widow and her household. Because if he goes out on the streets, he's going to be arrested and put to death. For 3.5 years, this man has not brought great messages from God, and God has sustained him. Remember when Floyd said to God, no speaky, no eaty? Well, God thinks otherwise. So you rest in those things too. There's times God will send you, shall we say, out to pasture to learn something about God. So that when he does say, okay, today's the day, Lawson, you won't fail. God will have prepared you. See, we're learning about God, what God's like. God doesn't send his boys out to do something they're not ready to handle. He doesn't intend for us to fail when he sends us. When he says, go, Moses, you're capable of handling it. Oh, but God, my tongue gets out. No, Moses, I chose you. You hear what I'm saying to you? When God says now, you're ready. Or he wouldn't have sent you. Amen. Though you're still going to have to depend on him. Okay? Verse 19. He said unto her, give me your son. He took him from her bosom, carried him up into a loft. Now we can tell by this that he's a small child. He can carry him up this loft himself. Where he abode, and he was lying in her bosom. Okay? Where he abode, laid him upon his own bed and cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord my God, listen, this is not easy now. He has not got a promise from God to stand on. He's just got God, his own knowledge of what God's really like. Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? See, he doesn't know what's going on. He's confused. See, he's like you and me. He figures, well, this woman's been good to me. I'm a man of God. You give a prophet a cup of water in a prophet's name, well, God's going to bless you. And he's confused just like you and I would have been confused in the situation. I'm trying to show you, the man doesn't know any more than you and I do. When prophets spoke, they spoke supernaturally. They didn't have to know any more than we know. Okay? And these trials were just as tough for them as it would be if God called on you and me for the same thing. Now watch what he does. He stretched himself upon the child. Now the child's lying on the bed. 3 times. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come to him. Now, y'all, I got to tell you this. It's a play on words. Okay? When he said, the play on words is, Elijah means, my God is the Lord, or Jehovah is the Lord. And now he says, O Lord, my God. He's actually, in Hebrew, almost exactly saying his own name. See, his name is Jehovah is God. Jehovah is the Lord. And now he says, O Jehovah, my God. He's almost calling his own name. It's almost a play on words here. Now, why 3 times? A lot of people have asked me that. Why 3 times? Well, reason number one, because nothing happened the first 2 times. Okay. I mean, you know, come on, gang. You know. Hey, listen to me. I want you to understand this. I want you to see he is praying, not commanding. Now, last night's lesson, when Peter came to the man at the gate, beautiful, he said he didn't pray. He knew by word of knowledge from God what was going to happen. He just looked at the man intently. God speaks to him, and he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He knew what was going to happen from God. God ministered it to him so that he didn't pray. You don't pray when you know the answer. It'd be dumb for God to tell you, I'm going to heal this guy, and then you say, oh God, please heal the guy. That's dumb. He just told you. Then you say, in the name of Jesus, you rise and walk, okay? But you see, this is not a lack of faith on Elijah's part. He really does not know what God is going to do. Therefore, he cannot command. There is no commandment given. Learn from these 2 examples. These 2 are designed to protect you. When you command, you're implying very powerfully, you have heard from God, therefore, if things don't happen, you have misrepresented yourself seriously. If you don't know, pray. And I want to tell you, most time I don't know, so I pray. When I do know, I speak. Okay? So he prays. Now, 3 times, for those of you that know your Bible, hey, 3 in the Scripture, it's, and don't get hung up in numerology, but 3 is not really the number of the Trinity in Scripture. It's the number of the resurrection. Every time you start seeing things happening in 3, God's telling you something. Resurrection power is needed. Resurrection juice is coming. Something about like that. Now, this boy is not going to be resurrected. Remember, we learned that last night. Resurrection is when you get your new body. Jesus is the first fruits, Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, verse 23. The first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first man ever to die and come back with his new body. Again, the Mount of Transfiguration, given in Matthew 16 and Matthew 17, it tells us that was a vision. So that if you had reached out to try and grab hold of Elijah and Moses, you would have gotten a handful of nothing. You couldn't, you know, it was a vision, and it tells you that it was a vision. No, no. They didn't get their resurrection bodies first. It was a vision of them with their glorified bodies. I'm glad now I know what mine's going to kind of look like, going to glisten and shine. See, Adam and Eve glowed originally. They were created in the image of God, which glows. Okay? And you're going to get new bodies that will also glow. And as Matthew 13:43 says, then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their son. Hey, that's a play on words too. We really are going to shine, even as they did with their new bodies. Okay, as Moses' face did when he got so close to God. Okay, see, that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. Their glow left. They were clothed in the glory of God. When they sinned, the light bulb went out. That's what scared the bejuniors out of them. Okay, they could no longer communicate with God. And their light bulb had gone off. All right? Now watch this. Cried 3 times to the Lord. I pray thee, let this child's soul come to him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And that's exciting to me. If Elijah is a man of like passions even as we, and God heard his voice, even about something like bringing the dead back. Now that's exciting. That gives me hope that if I pray for someone to come back from the dead, God may bring them back. But it also lets me know that many times God says, no, they're dead. Moreover, may I tell you all this? If I drop dead before this is over, don't come try it. I don't want to come back. Unless God twists your arm, don't do it. I'll be very content with that. You hear what I'm saying? I know where I'll be. Okay? And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came to him again, and he revived. Okay, so this is not resurrection. This is, he's coming back to life. Okay? It means this kid's going to die again later. Okay? That's the difference. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him to his mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, watch this. Here's the parting shot. That's what PS stands for. Parting shot. That means have faith. I'm not going to really teach till midnight. We're really about to quit and go home. Now watch it. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this, I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord, see, this is the definition of a man of God, that the word of the Lord is truth in your mouth. The word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. All right, now listen. Did you see what happened there? Just as the resurrection confirmed that Jesus was the man of God that he claimed to be, and the word from God's mouth, even so this child coming back confirmed to this woman that Elijah was truly a man of God and that she could trust his word in all things. That's why the number three was here, letting us know that something, when we saw that, we should have started getting excited. Hey, this kid's coming back. Something about that three. Something big is going to happen. Resurrection power is available. So God trained him and tested him, and in private, now he's ready. He knows that God is the God that can bring the living, can bring the dead back to life. He may have believed, hey, he believed that before this. Good doctrine too. Now he knows what he believes. Now he believes what he believes. And now God has hand-picked and hand-trained his man for Mount Carmel. And he's going to succeed on Mount Carmel and fail the next morning. But he succeeded at Mount Carmel. Now you hear me tonight. We've heard a lot of stuff tonight. Good things, precious things from God's Word. Life-changing thoughts from God's Word. Don't worry when your brook Cherith dries up. Don't worry that God may use you mightily in a ministry before a king and for 3.5 years out to pasture, as it were. That doesn't mean God was displeased with Elijah. Do you see how, hey, Elijah could have gotten on a guilt trip. He could have been defeated out there at Brook Cherith and defeated in Zarephath if he'd have listened to Satan. You can just almost hear Satan now, can't you? I thought you were a man of God. What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? Can't you just almost hear him doing the same thing to Jesus when Jesus goes up to pray in the mountains? What are you doing here, Jesus? You need to be preaching a sermon. Now, there's a lost world down there. Jesus knew where the source of his power was coming from. And God was building into Elijah things that can only be built in by time. Do you hear that, Pentecostals? There is no instantaneous aspirin pill to save the day. Character, Christian character, fruit of the Spirit. See, gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're instantaneous kabooms. You got them? You don't got them. You got them when God gives them to you, as the Holy Spirit wills. You hear me? And listen, you can be a brand new baby Christian. You just got saved and God used one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's no sign of maturity or holiness or anything. But now we're talking about something different tonight. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're talking about something that can only come over a period of time. Now listen. And it isn't pleasant learning it at Brook Cherith sometimes. And it isn't pleasant learning it. Listen to me. Here's a man of God. A man of God. Listen, did you hear what we said tonight? Would you think God would dare? To send a man in to speak to the king, and now we've got a contract out on him? See, I'm trying to teach you what Christianity is. You follow God and do exactly what he says, you think, now, I'm going to be a king's kid. Everything's going to go well. 5 Cadillacs, 27, you know, everything's going to just be great. Contract put out on you. And listen to your own heart condemn you. I wonder if God's satisfied with me. I mean, 2 years have gone by and I hadn't preached a sermon. You hear what I'm saying? So learn from this, beloveds. Don't let it get you down when these things happen. You can know when you're walking with God, and you can know when you're doing what God wants you to do. And there is a time to minister, and there's a time to refrain. You hear me? Let God form in you what He forms in you during these times of refreshing. And look forward in faith, not necessarily to some, quote, great unfinished ministry. None of us have a great unfinished ministry. It's going to end like Revelation, with or without us. Okay? But the point is, your little day on Mount Carmel may just be your boss, your next door neighbor, or one of you may be used by the Lord to minister to 5,000 or 20,000. I don't know. But let's trust God. Let's let God be God, and us just be people. I can be a people. Trying to play God is pretty tough. Would you stand? God bless you guys. For those of you in here that have never known the Lord, never given your heart to Him, I'm not going to give what you might call an invitation or a decision time. God's already been working you over since I've been talking about a decision. I just want to say this to all of us. You let God speak to you about the things you've learned tonight and heard tonight, and you'll see that God is a good God, that He cares about people, takes them into His hands personally. You let Him do the same thing to you. On the way home tonight, you can give your heart to the Lord. You don't need me. God found you tonight. For those of us that are already saved, hey, let's take these tremendously encouraging things we've learned to see that God operated with Peter and Paul one way and with Elijah another. Sometimes supernatural, sometimes natural. Most of the things in your life are not supernatural. They're common and mundane. You wake up, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, eat, go to work for 8 hours, come home, go to the bathroom, and you eat, and then you sleep for 6 or 8 hours. See, that's most of your life. Don't get hung up in the supernatural. Getting your eyes only on the supernatural will lead you into much deception. When God is ready to do the supernatural in your life, rejoice in it and enjoy it. You hear what I'm saying? Observe, Elijah didn't whimper about what was happening here. But at the same time, there's always that happy expectation that maybe today we'll see the supernatural. Moreover, maybe even tonight the Lord will descend from heaven with a voice of the archangel and the sound of a trump, and we'll hear those words, "Come on up here." So let's just rejoice in who we are because of who He is and what He's done with us and for us. And let's just pray, dismiss into a time of fellowship, and those of us that need to go home, go home. And I just thank You for Your patience and Your love as You've let me minister to you. Would you pray? Father, we thank You for loving us enough to write down this time from Elijah's life. Thank You for using it to encourage us that truly You are the God of Brook Cherith and the God that raises the dead, such that, Father, should we die tonight, we know that we know You will raise us. Lord Jesus, come and come quickly. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we dedicate this night out of our lives. Amen.